Hi, everyone. This is Tess Fismel with iSocialX and my partner in crime. And we do a lot of crime. Da!
Yeah, although I don't know if we should say that because the NSA and everybody's listening now.
I love it. I love it. Well, it's too dang gone bad. You mean they're listening more attentively because they've always listened?
Yeah. Or actually, maybe they're just listening because we're cool.
Yeah, well, yeah, that too.
You know, they gotta learn about tech too.
Yeah, look, I know that's right because I know a bunch of them did not use the tech that they were listening on. They kept just doing audio.
Yeah, and yet here we are.
Exactly. So, well, boys and girls, for today, guess what we have? So I think. I couldn't be more excited. And I always say this, Keith, I should stop that. And I want you to edit that piece out.
Yeah.
About the fact that in November the 2nd through the 6th, we have an entire event that's dedicated towards what, Keith?
Event Tech, right? Did I get it right?
And our show is called What, Keith?
Better Cooking with Keith and Tess. Oh, wait, sorry, wrong podcast. The Event Tech Pull-Up.
Exactly. So, we're the Event Tech Pull-Up, and where are we pulling you up to? On November 2nd through the 6th, the virtual Event Tech Live. And we are elated, not because I'm a judge for the awards, which I am, and it's my second year running, but we had an opportunity not long ago to sit down with the creator of the of Event Tech Lab and the Event Tech Awards, Adam Perry, right, Keith?
Yes, who's also, besides starting and founding all these awesome things, is also a really nice and cool guy.
He is. Besides being an event technologist, he's a great, what I would call a publisher, you know, at heart, because he's produced so many educational tools, resources for us that I know I've used through the years. And he's just as cool in person as he is just virtually or digitally, if you will. So we took time out to spend with him, and you'll get a chance to hear it pretty soon, not long ago. But I wanted to see what his thoughts were about producing this event virtually, which originally was going to be in a hybrid situation. And he shared a couple things with us. So Keith, I'm going to read a quote, if you don't mind. So Adam says, I think that something like event tech is a global solution to many of the problems we face as an industry. 45% of our attendees are increasing their budget for virtual and online next year. And that says to me, which is Adam, or to him, that there aren't replacements for face-to-face events, more ways not to engage a community all year round and all over the world. Digitization of our industry will open up new and exciting revenue streams for planners, which we know we've seen that. So as we said, the Event Tech Live will take place from November 2nd to the 6th, and the Event Tech Awards are part of that. So hopefully you all will find a little bit more information and have an affinity for it as well, like us. Keith, you want to share anything else before we let that episode run?
No, I think we ought to get right to it because, you know, to kind of parrot, you know, what Adam was saying, this is it, right? Virtual, whether people like it or not. And I know a lot of planners don't like it, and I totally get it. It's here to stay.
It is. And I say it's hybrid. We're in a hybrid world. Yeah. So no matter what you're planning for the future, it is always hybrid. It will never be face-to-face. It will never be virtual. You will always have both elements in anything that you do when people choose to gather. So enjoy our next episode. Hi, everyone. It is Tess Fismel from iSocialX and my partner in crime,
Keith Johnston. Oh, I didn't hesitate that time.
That's lovely. And we are here with the Event Tech Pull-Up. One of our guests today is someone that I dearly admire, have had a Twitter relationship for what seems like thousands of years. Then we're able to connect face-to-face at an industry event. Finally, 1 year, which I can't even remember what year is at, but he is internationally known in the event tech arena. He is our kindred soul around event tech. I want to welcome to our table, the event tech table, Adam Perry. How are you, Adam?
I'm amazing, Tessen. Wow, what an introduction, right? Now I need to live up to that introduction. So,
because now you're like, you're put on this huge pedestal and now you have to live up to that. No,
like, it's a fall from here. I can feel it coming.
Yeah. So let me tell you all just a little bit about Adam technically. You know my affinity, but let's see. So Adam is the co-founder and editor of the event industry's global online magazine, which everyone should know, which is the Event Industry News. And that's eventindustrynews.com, EIN. Yep. As an avid technology evangelist, or as I call it, tech evangelist, Adam coupled his 10 years experience in the event industry with his passion for the latest tech trends to co-create Event Tech Live. We know we love Event Tech Live, and I stalked him around this, still been wanting to come, and then COVID messed me up. But nonetheless, Europe's only show dedicated to event technology. On top of this, Adam is also the co-organizer of the Event Technology Awards, a world-renowned award scheme showcasing the very best in event tech. EIN's vast readership comprises organizers, promoters, event management, and production companies, suppliers, experiential agencies, the corporate sector, local government, and organizations that host exhibitions and conferences. Again, welcome, Adam.
So I is there anyone that doesn't read it?
Me? do you know what? I'm sure there's plenty of people because there's not only just us out there, right? There are so many great publications that service our sector, from agency publications to, you know, the guys at Trade Show News Network and BizBash. And we've got a bunch over here more focused on the UK. So... you know, I will say this, we have definitely found some new readers over the last 3 months because our stats have gone through the roof, which I'm sure many, many publishers have seen the same thing. So maybe some new people on this podcast will join us and subscribe or follow us on one of our social platforms.
Yeah, that's actually a funny, good point, right? I'm actually, because... you know, with my blog and then even our company blog, the readership has gone way up, even though I haven't really been posting a ton of new stuff. It's mm-hmm. like people are sitting at home, they're COVID bound. Right. And so they're actually searching for stuff and they're finding it, which is pretty cool. I mean, you're right. There is a lot out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you've got really good evergreen content. I think people have definitely taken the time to try and kind of absorb some knowledge, upskill themselves, you know, get prepared for when events come back and actually use it as an opportunity to learn. So yeah, I'm sure there's many people out there like you and we've definitely seen that Event Industry News for sure.
Good. So Keith's going to kick off the questioning because he has to keep me focused. He keeps me in line when I get extra excited about our guests.
So speaking of people being home and not doing anything and all the events are pivoting to virtual. I know all of my current clients have gone virtual with everything up until for most of the part into the first quarter of 2021 has now gone virtual. But what do you think, what does the future of events look like once we exit COVID?
Okay. It's a $1 million question, right? My honest answer, my personal opinion is I would love to see them get back physically to what we saw 13, 14 weeks ago now. I'm sure I'm getting that wrong. It seems to be, you know, longer and longer every day that goes past.
400 years ago, yeah. Yes.
Before, BC now means before coronavirus. That's the way that... in the events industry. There was so much that was great about events. We had mega events, we had local events, meetups, conferences, exhibitions, you know, there was all these things. And to be honest with you, there were virtual events. That's nothing new since coronavirus. But what I hope we see as a sector is the opportunity now that's presented to really, really unleash the power of this hybrid and online model. You know, whether that's to test the water and launch new events for sectors and niches that might not necessarily be viable straight out of the gate as a fully fledged physical event. With the hybrid model, there's clearly an opportunity to connect, you know, a global audience, and that's going to be good for sustainability. That's going to be good for revenue because we're going to get lots of opportunities to sell companies digital sponsorships and provide them with statistics and information back so they can, you know, see the value that they've gleaned out of that as well. And you know what, that might even mean that we can attract exhibitors and sponsors and participants in that way, ticket buyers, because they don't necessarily need to think about it as a, right, I not only do I need to kind of book my event attendance, but I need to sort out, you know, travel, logistics, hotels, time away from the family, all that kind of stuff. So the opportunity for me is actually that we have a new part of this industry that should bring revenue in and actually more important sector globally. You know, we're very, very important already to business being made, but I think it will elevate us if we get it right as a whole industry. If we get it right, we'll be stronger for it.
Yeah, and to piggyback on that, I one of the things that I've seen is not only elevating the industry, but elevating, like, I was part of a local event or a regional event not too long ago that had to go virtual, and for years and years and years, it's only been in that part of the United States. They went virtual, and all of a sudden, their audience opened up. You know, and they went from an event that typically had 150 people in person to, and they did not expect this. All of a sudden, they went to 700 attendees virtually, and they were getting attendees from as far away as Europe, mm-hmm. which I think that the importance of that should not be understated, right? Because you have the ability as an event organizer, especially if you can take that hybrid model, right? You can continue that growth, and your event that might be a regional or a country specific event can all of a sudden be global.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think that also opens up the opportunity for, you know, more people to get involved from the same organizations or from the same networks as well. You know, one of the things that I've actually seen in a similar vein to what you've just said there, Keith, is, you know, there's a couple of organizers that have been delivering enterprise level ticketing. So this is, you know, 10 tickets, 20 tickets at a time, but for your organization or for your network. And these have been getting sold like in the hours leading up to an event. Now, for any company, any corporate to send, you know, 10, 15, 20 people to an event, that's a huge expense, even if it's cool, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And doing that 24 hours before an event, nobody's going to do that en masse like that. But all of a sudden, I think what's happening is people are thinking about the budgets that they have differently. Okay, maybe let's say it's 10 tickets at $300, $400 a piece. That's a decent amount of investment. That's probably what a corporation would pay for one person to go to a conference 3 or 4 days, right? And now they can do it en masse as an organization, bit of team building, bit of combined learning, you know, and even like a thank you through the coronavirus and stuff. And I think that will continue. I think participation in events online will end up happening on organization level in groups, which will be a better experience for everybody as well.
Yeah, and we've actually seen that. You know, there's another event. there's another event that we have for October that went virtual, and typically the organizations would send one person, but now because it's virtual, they do have the ability to send. So they're actually sending entire departments. Yep. So again, you had this event that typically had 500 attendees, you know, is now pushing upwards of 900 to 1,000 attendees. But they're all from, you know, you're getting multiple people. So they're buying those blocks of tickets, exactly to your point.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So Adam, you're in my world now. I'm excited. So how does tech play a role in the future of events? And I'm going to wait on the follow-up question because I really want you to focus on the next one because it's going to be hopefully revolutionary.
Okay, so I'll have to go back 10, 15 years of when I first started in the events industry. Like, event technology meant AV, right? That's what it meant. LED panels, sound. That's what event tech meant. And, you know, one of the reasons we launched Event Tech Live and Event Tech Awards is because I felt that some of the technology that was coming right out at the beginning, you know, even before apps, was like, was going to give us the tools and the power to really change the way that we want to create experiences. And I think that's been very true. They've definitely added a lot of options to us as event designers, as event producers, event organizers, in the way that we deliver content, the way that we engage people, the ability to do it further afield and generate revenue and things like that. So for me, event tech has always been one of those things that could change, that has the huge power to change the way that we deliver events, because the event format actually in itself has not changed a great deal since the first event was created. I think if you look back at the first exhibition, it looks kind of like the exhibitions we have now.
Yes.
I think, you know, one key area, well, a couple of key areas that event technology will change our industry is it will make us efficient beyond belief. Like, I believe that as an industry, we probably have a lot of time that's inefficient. You know, that could be changes, people management, logistics, you know, chasing money, whatever. And as an industry, that's essentially what we charge for. We charge for our time. You know, that's how we make money. So I think one of the biggest things is that technology can make us more efficient. It can make us more sustainable. It can drive more revenue. It can open up new opportunities as event businesses. Because essentially, I see an event business as a data business. That's what we are. We acquire data into money. I think what it can take is take a great industry that has so much serendipity and we make people feel good, and then just really make us this super powerful sector that can really harness data and technology for those things.
So Tess, before you ask your follow-up, I actually have a question and I've been dying to ask somebody, because I agree with you, right? I think that technology has the power to make us super beings, right? Especially in our sphere. But what do we do about, and I have one client that I'm thinking of in particular, that you give them these tools, right? And they're not hard, right? They're easy to use. They can glean all of this data, but kind of an old school planner, they just refuse to stop doing things in email and Excel. Right,
you
Thank know, you.
Know what I mean? Yes, Keith. Yes, Keith.
And you sit down.
look how excited he is! Please,
I am so patient with her, right? But you can't get them to.
Right, my first answer. Oh, nothing wrong with Excel. No, that you know. Let's be honest about it. A spreadsheet is a database. I think that's one of the things you need to get over to our clients, is that they're essentially putting data in a database. Now, databases can be extremely powerful, but you need technology layered on top of that in order to make that work for you, because otherwise it's an extremely manual process. My second answer to that was, they're not the right person to try and leverage technology. You know, they're stuck in their ways. You know, is it their job to try and, is it their responsibility to change? Maybe, if they want to, then they've got the ability to change. What we need to do as a sector, and what we need to realize as business owners, we need to attract the talent and the skill and invest in that within our businesses in order to give those people the ability to do that for us. You know, I'm not a rigger. I employ riggers at my event. I'm not a spark it. I employ those people because they're professionals. They know their craft so well that I don't need to, I can rely on them to do that. And I think that's the thing that's happening at the moment. That's definitely what's happened with the pandemic, is the industry's had a bit of an oh crap moment. We don't have the skills internally to be able to pivot as quickly as we'd like. You know, it's a totally different skill set to design an event in person. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we need to do as an industry. We need to start collectively creating platforms in which people can learn upon. We need to create better access to certification. And when I'm saying that, I mean, it doesn't need to come with $1,000-$2,000 price tag. Like, that's ridiculous.
Thank you.
You know, but we do need to realize that we need to give people the time and investment. One of the biggest things that I could see that we could do, right, is, like I said, we're data businesses. There are huge, great technology companies out there that are data businesses. There's Googles, there's the Yelps, there's the Yahoos of the day, and all these kind of companies. They have great talent within them that we could attract as large organizations. And then there's, you know, like, there's so much young talent out there that just get technology, that give them the job of, right, go and learn about tech, go and learn about the best CMS for us, the content management system, bring it in-house, let's deliver it, let's kick it out of the park. Like, give it to them. If you have no interest in doing it, then that's cool. But invest in somebody that is.
Well, and then go ahead. But no, I was going to say, and you know, even for if you're in an organization that can't bring in the talent, right? Maybe you're cash strapped. I think that you need to find those tools, right? Like, I know one of the things that we talked about in our news section is Amazon just launched something called Honeycode.
Absolutely. Right?
And it allows you to take all of your data and it'll do stuff with your data. Right. But as an event organizer, you tell it what you want it to do. And it's amazing. It's hard to get your brain wrapped around, but you just take your little database, your Excel or CSV file, and you put it in there, and then you tell it what you want it to do with that data, and it will. And these tools are cheap and they're easy. And yes, it takes time to, of course, you know, figure out what you want it to do. But I think that even in a cash poor business, you know, you can still make use of some of these great tools because so many of them are so low cost.
I would absolutely agree with that. And if I was to reference a really great product for your audience, to that, it's a no code. And for those listening, no code is literally what it means. You don't have to know any code. You don't have to know any HTML, JavaScript, CSS, whatever that might be, all that crazy techie stuff. It's a drag and drop builder. But beautifully, it works off of an Excel spreadsheet. Well, a Google sheet, it's kind of the same thing. So you can build a conference app for your attendees. They've got templates. So you just, like, literally put your data onto Google Sheets, connect it up to this template, boom, you've got an app for your event attendees. And they've got some great stuff in there, from contactless food ordering to, I mean, just go out and check it. But, like, that is where I would start as an organizer that's maybe cash strapped or doesn't know if it's the right investment. Like, adoption is one of those things that you need to test. Nobody wants to spend $5,000-$10,000 on creating an event app before they've understood whether the adoption appetite is there.
Yeah, true.
Absolutely.
So wait, and what's the name of your tool?
Glide Apps. Glide Apps. Yeah. Loads of templates, drag and drop. I mean, like, you could probably build an app for your event as long as you've got the data in, like, an hour, I reckon.
Yeah. No, I remember when it came out, and we all know Dahlia. Dahlia and I were actually sitting at an event together, and I said, hey, check this out. And I had a spreadsheet, and I literally just went click, 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 and boop, there it was. Up it pops, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there are some cool tools.
So, guys, this is spot on to my next question, because all of what you talked about is the role of the event technologist. So we've been talking about it for years, Keith and I, Dahlia's been talking about it for years, on crafting that position either within an organization or as a consultant or at a tech company, for say, who could interface with the event owners on various different ways on doing that, but someone who has the bandwidth, who likes it, who enjoys it, who can look at the landscape, you know, from a 30,000 foot perspective and say, these are all the technologies that you're working with, what's going to be best for the event? That's not a person that sits in IT, understands IT, but doesn't have to sit in IT, because the people who sit in IT don't work on behalf of the events and they don't come from the events world. So my question is kind of couched with, you know, what do you see, you probably answered it partially, as the event technologist role today, moving forward, and How do you see, or what will, do you think the industry can do to help amplify that role in a way that people respect it and will pay the way that they should pay, you know, to make that happen?
So I think it's a combination of all the three different people that you've described before. And I think they can all work coherently together for the benefit of everybody. So with event technology companies, you tend to have salespeople and then the extremely techie people. And there's, you know, there's some customer support, but you kind of need somebody who, like you said, understands the event space a little bit better. And then I think at the organizations that can afford it, there will be, and I'm starting to see it here in the UK especially, people start to move into that role where their focus is more on the suite of event apps. But also, really importantly, their job is to keep abreast of not only everything that's new out in the market and to kind of engage with these customers to, you know, see how it works, but also keep up with the pace of the changes of all the technology that they are using. You know, I was speaking to someone today, an organizer, great event, huge event. And he was like, do you know what? In the 3 months that we've used this technology, there's been all these updates and we're not getting to know about them until we're actually using it. Like, they found out there was a update to the platform on the day that their first event went live. Like, that's actually not a great thing.
No. And we see that often. That is not an anomaly anymore.
Yeah. So I think organizations, if they can afford it, then yes, having somebody internally that understands company culture, vision, economics, all that kind of stuff, keeping abreast of what technology is out there, where they should maybe move, how they can utilize, develop, and update, perfect. I think, you know, one of the things that a lot of event technology companies have seen now that the demand has increased, that they again need customer interfaced support, you know, not tech,
yes.
Not tech
yes.
support.
No.
Yeah. No. And you know, I'm in touch with a number of organizers that can't get enough of that. They bought this platform, but they can't get the support that they need. They can buy the support on the day that the event's live if any technical issues go place, but they want somebody to hold their hand through the journey, right?
Sure.
Building that experience. And then there's individuals like you, Tess, and you, Keith, and Dahlia, and all those people out there that are those more, their job is to help with a number of different facets. And I think event technologist is one of those facets of skill set that they have to the, as a string to their bow. And again, they keep in touch and maybe they interface with the company and the individual that's the event technologist there to help them and keep them abreast and mentor them and tutor them and things like that. And maybe they're also there to help, you know, with those, in those negotiations with the tech providers and keep up to breast with them and be their advocates as well. Because there's, I mean, Julius has just done a great piece. There's like 90 plus, I think there's probably over 100 companies out there just doing online solutions.
Yes.
That's a full-time job just to go through 100 companies.
It is. Keith and I talk about that all the time.
And the funny thing is, right, your event technologist position could pay for itself, because I actually did, I did a demo, new virtual event platform, and I walked through it the other day with their sales folks, and they're all great, and we get to the end, and I'm like, oh, this is really nice, you know, what does it cost? Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, it starts at $18,000. And now I've looked at all the platforms, and I'm like, oh my God, this one doesn't do anything more than this one that looks just as great, that's $1,200.
Yeah.
And if you're a planner or someone who got pushed into the virtual space and now you have to go, but this is the only one you know because you knew the salesperson or whatever it happens to be, you've just spent $18,000 on something that should have been $1,200.
Now, what is really important though to say to that also, Keith, is that there's a company, I won't name them, they're a great company. They are a really good company. And on the face of things, their costs look higher than everybody else. Mm-hmm. But the feedback from the people that have gone with them is that once the contract's signed, their support is excellent. It's excellent in the way that there's no question too big or small. They have enough people to support everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think is where people really need to understand that with some, not all, is that's where they need to factor in some of that cost. But the technology companies need to do a better job of explaining
Yeah, and you make a really valid point there, because with these two platforms that I described, they're both self-service platforms, right? So there's no support or anything. It really is an apples to apples thing. But you make a really good point that sometimes you'll find a product that, you know, okay, here's the product for $1,200, but here's the one for $8,000. The one for $8,000 is actually the better value, because you get the support and you get that handholding that you really need through the process. And again, I think that goes to the event technologist that should know and understand these things, right? Yeah. And should know what you're getting for your money, which I'm sorry, but the person who is the director of meetings at Association A, they can't be expected to know all that, right? I mean, they've got other things, right? They've got bigger fish to fry, if you will.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that the event technologist can do, let's say there's 94 platforms out, let's say you curate that down to 10, right? Mm-hmm. At the moment, most demos probably take an hour. 10 hours of anybody important's life is a lot of money invested trying to figure out what's the right way to go. As a big corporation, I'd rather pay Tess half a day's retainer to kind of give me all the information, to give me the shortcuts, understand my business, or a couple of days. That's probably a better investment for me, because I can get on with the rest of my business and tell me what I need, because she's got a total view of the landscape. She knows costs. She knows feature sets. She's taken the time to understand my business and my objectives. Boom. That's paid for itself as a consultant, because I don't then need to invest my time trying to figure it out. So I think that's one of the roles of the event technologist, is that consultative role of like, what's your objective? Here's the technology. What's your budget? What can we do? And come back with a few options. And I've helped a couple of people do that over the last 13 weeks, because it's a minefield out there. Mm. And any technology company that's listening to this, my feedback to you is, do not be afraid. I know we all have to sell the virtues and the value of our product, right? It's the sales process. We sell the value of our product and then we give them the nice option at the end. But don't be scared to give people pricing up front, because I would say this, although you might be full to the brim with demos, you're probably wasting a lot of both your time and their time in terms of going through these demos and them just not having 18K, 50K. I heard somebody spending $500,000 the other day.
Yes, I did too. I've heard literally anything just for technology, nothing else, from 1500 to 300K. Yeah. I'm like, but anyway, I get that. And sir, you know, it's everything in between. And I am so glad that we asked that question, because that was one of the burning ones for me to hear it from your perspective, because Keith and I and Di, we throw things around all the time, and understanding the value of it, right?
Yeah.
That you're going to get lost if you don't have someone to be able to help you through the process that has your best interests, at educating the technology companies to ask the right questions and present the right information on who they really are and what they truly deliver, not just went virtual because virtual is hot.
Mm-hmm. Yep, totally agree.
Yeah. And I'll pivot us into the final question of the day. That way, because I know you probably have other business to do besides sit here and talk to us all day.
Really? You mean he can't stay with us all day? I thought we created this sandbox right here for the three of us for today. And it's Friday, and it's a holiday for the U.S. I thought that's what we were playing. Fireworks.
It's Friday and a national holiday, and I actually have a proposal due by 5 o'clock today. So there you go. But final question of the day, and you know, and it's an interesting question given everything that we talked about the event technologist and the role of planners, but what skills do planners, should they look to acquire while they're in COVID? Because once COVID's over, and it will be over, it will end, you know, what are some of the skills that the everyday planner should have or should try to acquire as we move into the post-COVID world?
Okay, it's really interesting, and there are so many out there, but I think the one of the easiest to translate over to the events industry is, you know, probably everybody at most organizations plays some form of role in event marketing, right? So, you know, maybe go through the Facebook certification to understand really how to make your money work for you there when you're promoting your event on Facebook, and don't get trapped by how Facebook presents things to you and leverages more revenue out of you for more views. But actually learn how, because that platform's quite complex and it's quite powerful and it can work really well, but it also can bleed you dry of your marketing budget. And maybe start to upskill on similar platforms, like understand how LinkedIn works and go through their certification, Google, and go through their certification. Because not only are they ways that you can market your business, but those are ways that you can take a certain amount of budget and your audience and 10x it with a customer or a sponsor that also wants to reach your audience, right? So you can go, this is one of the things that's coming out quite a lot at the moment is we all have event websites. We all probably have some form of tracking pixel or system that allows us to retarget those people on other networks. And I know organizers that are taking that, buying a CPM, converting it, having a company manager in the middle and taking a nice 6x profit out of it. So wow. That things that I think, you know, is something that as a skill set, understanding digital ROI, understanding digital marketing and platforms is very transferable over into our sector. And something that will not only teach you about technology and all that kind of stuff, but give you a really, really strong position in, should anything ever happen again to our sector, that you can pivot out and go and be a digital marketing person for somebody else, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, and then real quick, Keith. So, Adam, can you break down what a CPM is for those in the audience and listeners who don't have a clue? At least just that, you know, that little piece on the turn and the pivot with that, so that they can understand.
Website.
Sorry, Keith. I just wanted to mention.
Yep, that's a fair question.
Yeah, no, and I shouldn't expect everybody to know as well, so fair point. CPM is a metric or a term used by digital marketers to understand the volume of traffic that hits a website. So it's cost per million, but it's actually based on around thousands, right?
Thousands, yeah.
So, you know, we take digital marketers or ad networks take that value, 1,000, 2,000, 10,000, 500,000, 1,000,000, 2,000,000. And then generally, if you're going through Google or something like that, based on your preference, your search will give you a range of budget or options based on how popular that is. So, you know, what you want to do as well is you want to find out what sector you serve. So if you serve pharma and science and technology and things like that, the CPM or the value of those impressions based on your sector is probably worth more than, let's say, candles, although we probably sell a lot of candles, because the companies that advertise and market to those sectors generally have a cost of a product that's sold for a much, much higher value and a much, much higher profit margin. So understanding the events that you deliver and the market they deliver to and the audience that you gain and looking at there will help you to understand the value of what you can offer back to your sponsors, back to other companies outside of your event. Maybe there's another company that doesn't want to exhibit or sponsor directly, but they quite find your audience attractive. So yeah, CPM is about understanding the quantity of visitors to your event website or corporate website, etc.
Yeah, and I think when it comes to, you know, talking about Google and Facebook and getting these certifications and things like that, you know, I don't want the director level person, you know, to get discouraged and say, well, that's, you know, I don't have enough time for that. You know, sometimes I think it can be really helpful if they go in and honestly find a good online, you know, quick online course that's quality about those things. Because it can actually then, when you have to hire someone to do these things, you then can, you don't have to know the in-depth where to click, but at least you understand the process and no one's going to sell you a bag of goods, right? You then, if as long as you understand it and can speak the lingo, you can make it work for you.
Yeah, I think, you know, was it Steve Jobs who said, we don't employ people for us to tell them what to do. We employ people for them to tell us what to do.
Yeah,
is true of very true of that. But like you say, you have to have an understanding of what you're recruiting for and what you're looking for. And like you say, not be caught out by somebody who's going to say, I can absolutely do all this, and then cloak and dagger and smoke and mirrors, and they've spent 12 months actually doing not a very lot. So yeah, you know, that's as a business owner to take a little bit of it, have a little knowledge on a lot, right? I think that's generally as the person at the top has a little knowledge on a lot, more importantly, how to manage a team and how to empower them. But yeah, I think you're right. notice of kind of those things and those platforms and what they can do and have some knowledge on that is a really good place to start.
Great. Well, I'm going to wrap it up with just this one little bit. Tell us a little bit about the Event Tech Awards and how it may look any different. What's coming up? I'm honored to be a judge again this year. So yeah. Much fun. Great process. So tell us about that. Oh, and Event Tech Live, of course, but still.
Sure. With Event Tech Live. Event Tech Live this year is going to be a 5-day event. Arguably a little bit longer, but we are calling it a 5-day event. So there will be content available to people over 5 days, both online and physically in London for the 2 days. So we're blending the two pieces of content. Content online will be from various people, various walks of life. We're going to get people from over in the States involved, from the Middle East, from APAC region, and we're going to schedule that based on people in that locality being available to actually engage with that as well, because I think it's really important. Like an event like can run for such a there's no limit to the schedule. But I think it's still important to schedule the right content with the right people for the right audience in that region, right? I don't want to wake up at 3 a.m. to watch some content, no matter how compelling it is. So there's, and we're going to throw some really fun stuff in there, but I'm not going to give any of that away yet, because that's the secret sauce as far as I'm, it's not just going to be presentation and panel discussion and all that kind of stuff. All that's really important for us to have. The 2 live days will be the bit of the event that we obviously elevate online so people can get a feel. Again, there's some special stuff, not some special stuff, because I'm sure there's other people out there doing this, but there's some stuff that I'm really excited that will bring those people online into the event and vice versa. So we're not treating it as 2 separate events. We're really thinking about how we can blend them both together and take you on a little bit of a journey. So there's some stuff around that we're doing. One of the things that, you know, Event Tech Live ultimately is a lead generation business. We are there as a tool for people who are supplying technology to meet up with interested parties and buyers. But more importantly, we're also a platform for people to get educated and find knowledge and understand these platforms and technologies. And that goes into marketing and things like that as well. We're also going to look at discussing some, you know, some important topics this year, some skills, diversity, inclusion, recruitment, you know, financials, all those kinds of things. They're important parts of what we deliver at Event Tech Live, not only for as an industry event, but actually for the suppliers and companies who also have these challenges and things with them. You know, it's as much about the event technology company as it is about the buyer as well. That will be bridged in some way with the Event Technology Awards. Now, this is not news yet. Well, it's not been announced. If my business partners find out, I'm telling you, they'll probably chop my legs off.
I like secret stuff.
We love secret stuff, and we don't release till we want to release.
So, at the beginning... of the year, Event Industry News launched the Sustainable Event Awards. The Sustainable Event Awards were always, from its conception, an online event. There was never going to be a physical manifestation of the Sustainable Event Awards. And I think what we've understood now is that we may want to look at doing something similar with the Event Technology Awards. Now, I think Event Tech Live having a physical presence still gives us the opportunity to do something creative and physical as well. So maybe the Event Technology Awards will be hybrid itself. And I think one of the things that we're looking at doing is changing the format. You know, Event Technology Awards has been very much a black tie gala dinner since its inception. And people do love that. People love getting dressed up and going to something special, especially if they win an award. It feels really prestigious. It feels really good. And I'm not saying we're not necessarily going to do that, or if we do something different this year, go back to that. It's yet to be seen. But I do know one thing. Everybody at the moment is watching every dollar that they've got. And to ask somebody for a gala dinner ticket or to bring their company along and spend maybe a few $1,000s on an evening out just seems maybe a little bit too lavish at the moment. So I think we want to change the format up to make it so much more accessible to people, to not have to worry about investing that kind of money, because we've got the ability to change the format so we can reduce the cost right down, possibly even make it, you know, so cheap, free. Maybe we could get it sponsored. I don't know. We're kind of exploring all of those things. And you know what? The Event Technology Awards has always been a global program. We've just tended to host it as part of Event Tech Live in London because it's made sense for the people that are there at that time. But I'd really like to see what we can leverage. Plans are in the making. Nothing's quite finalized just yet in terms of format. I can tell you this, we've never had as many entries as we have this year, which is really...
I've been sending plenty of people to you.
So, you know, you're going to see that test when you get access to the to do the judging and things like that. So, you know, there's some really good content in there. But I think in terms of the format of the awards, I think we've got the ability to be do something interesting this year, if nothing else.
Well, great. I think it's going to be a new and exciting year because now you have the disruption of what COVID has done. So it's shifted. I'm sure the questions that you asked the event technology companies. So I'm interested to see how it'll come down the pipe. Keith, do you have anything else for Adam before we release him back into the wild with his lovely little baby?
Nope, catch and release. We can let him go now.
Adam, would you like to share anything else with our listeners as well as our viewers?
I'd just say thank you to you guys. You know, as a content creator, as somebody that publicizes news, information, tries to help people, you know, thanks to you guys for doing things like this, because I think the more information they can share, opinions, debates, all that kind of stuff really kind of helps our industry move forward. And at the moment when most of the news is relatively doom and gloom, at least stuff like this creates some positivity. So that's all I'd say. But thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, we're glad for having you. Again, my name is Tess Fismail with iSocial X. And my partner in crime is...
Yeah, Keith. I'm that guy.
He messes it up every time, Adam. And we are here with the Event Tech Pull-Up. Very happy to have you today. We have Adam Perry again, and he is a rock star overseas and internationally. Check him out. Make sure that you read our show notes as well and pull up with us on a regular basis and share with others. Thank you and take care.